Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I think the girl who is able to earn her own living and pay her own way should be as happy as anybody on earth. Susan B. Anthony. Welcome to Grimley. Does that sound better?
That sounds better.
Okay.
Sure. I don't know. I just play with a dial, see if anything resonates.
Must tweak the dials.
I don't fucking know what I'm doing.
Like That's a sound
pretty
mixer.
Obvious. Yeah.
Producer.
I'm definitely not. Any sound engineers out there want to intern? I don't have any money to pay you. Just know that. I could, I don't know, give you eggs.
You came without eggs today.
I did. I forgot to get you eggs.
The eggs are not promised.
They're always forgotten. But I will try to remember more for you.
Oh, it's fine.
Because, this is the first recording after the election.
True. And after my surgery.
And after your surgery. How are you feeling? Tell the audience?
I don't feel great today, but the ankle is healing well. It's all good.
Yeah. I did have my stitches removed.
Friday? It's Thursday?
Thursday.
Okay.
Yep.
And that was pretty painless?
Wasn't bad. Yeah, it wasn't bad at all.
Okay, I know you were worried about that.
I was, because they took drains out before Halloween, and that fucking hurt like a bitch.
Really?
It hurt so bad, my hands went numb, and
Jesus.
I actually thought I was going to pass out.
From the
pain? I had to put my hands above my head because they were, like, tingling and numb.
Wow.
And the nurse was, like, gave me a bottle of water before we even did it. She was, like, sip this. And when you're not sipping, hold it up to your neck, like, to your artery. Because some people, your carotid artery, people feel weak. Anyway, don't recommend it.
I was hoping the bottle she handed you was, like, filled with alcohol.
No, they have to be professional. Unfortunately.
I don't know.
I was also on meth drugs.
I know. I feel like, here, you need this.
I am no longer on drugs, and therefore I'm drinking a martini tonight. Thank you for coming to my house and making it for me.
You're welcome. I am more than happy to come to your house and be your bartender.
Thank you. Welcome to Grimley.
Welcome to Grimley. I am Missy.
And I'm Meg.
And
yeah, and like she said, I'm really trying to keep the energy up and not let Missy slide into political fiasco, bummer.
A deep, dark despair.
Yes, held them. But go on.
Needless to say, we're both disappointed from the outcome. Just to make that clear.
I don't know about you. I mean, obviously, I know about you. We're both fucked.
I didn't vote this way, but life, I'm not surprised.
No.
Not surprised at all.
Not surprised. Okay. I will... How about I just say this? I'm going to say a statement.
Okay.
And then we can move on.
I would love to.
Okay.
We haven't even started. I'm ready to move on.
We're not trying to be the people that are like, we don't want to talk about politics because we voted the wrong way, aka voted for Trump. There's been a lot of like that on the internet. People are like, there's a lot of people out there who are no longer talking about politics, and they're like, oh, let's all just get along because they were voting for him, and they don't want to lose followers.
Well, I don't blame them.
I do.
I mean, I don't blame them for not publicizing it.
Right. It's funny because, well, first, the astrology girlies feel this. Did you hear about this?
No.
There was a bunch of astrologers who predicted that Kamala was going to win.
Okay.
And they're still saying something's going to happen.
Oh, interesting. What could fucking happen?
I don't know.
The astrology girlies
says something's still happening. And then there was this whole thing about on the internet that's going around right now is there was like thousands of people that all woke up at 3:30, 4 a.m. in the morning and thought Kamala won, myself included.
What?
Yeah. And there's all these people talk about now on the internet. They're like, hey, did anyone else wake up at this time and thought that she won and then felt like a shift in the timeline?
Oh, my God. Listen, I do believe in
timeline shifts.
No, you're talking about the Mandela effect, right? I mean, it is another way. Yes, yeah. It is. The Mandela effect is a type of timeline shift, which we should be talking about on the podcast.
We will eventually. I'll get there.
Well, my sister texted me the other day. This is unrelated. Okay. I'm going to take a sidebar.
Okay.
She was like, oh, it was, there's this woman on the on Instagram called Kiki Monique, mm-hmm. and she is a fantastic content creator, kind of like pop culture news.
Yeah.
And she had posted, she was on a flight about the Shazam movie.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks it's a Sinbad movie called Shazam, but it doesn't exist, actually.
Really?
It does not exist.
Okay. I think I've heard this, but I still can't, like, wrap my head around that. Yeah.
Because I remember it. And so my sister texted me and was like, shout out. She texted me and was like, wait, this movie doesn't exist? And I was like, nope. And now you believe in the Mandela effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were one of the newest
shifters.
Yes, apparently.
Timeline shifters.
Yes, it happened on...
Yeah. I don't know.
On Tuesday.
There's just a bunch of people who said that 3:30, 4 a.m. the next, like,
it was called a fucking fever dream. It's not a timeline.
Maybe
it's
just all just a compounded situation. Yeah, but I definitely woke up.
Or like a dream?
It was like I woke up and thinking that she had won. And she had gotten 295 electoral votes. And that was it. Everything changed.
Huh.
But obviously, unfortunately, it did not.
Well, I didn't. Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, I know he won, but I don't know. I wasn't watching. I went to bed early.
It was pretty much a landslide.
I know, right?
Yeah. So we put a convicted felon in office.
Oh God.
Before a woman.
Oh yeah. No, that does piss me off. I mean, certainly that shit pisses me off deeply.
We deeply, deeply pissed.
See, here you go. You're baiting me.
Okay. I'm sorry. We're gonna
say the thing. You're gonna mention the misogyny and sexism, and then I'm gonna be ready to talk about it all night because it fucking irritates me.
I need you to get pissed, Meg.
Oh, you did it.
Okay. So I will say this. How about soapbox stepping up?
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
If you, in 2024, voted for Donald Trump.
Oh, dear. What she's going to say.
Knowing the type of candidate he is, the type of person he is, and the type of president he was. I hope you get the dictatorship that you asked for. And I mean that by, I hope every right that can be taken away from you.
Oh dear.
Will be.
That's right.
And I hope that every person you have loved and alienated by voting for this man get to watch the leopards eat your face, much like Sansa Stark got to watch the dogs eat Ramsay Bolton's face. This is a safe space. This is a safe podcast.
But not for y'all.
You are not a safe person. Therefore,
this is insane.
Go away.
Okay. You're inviting people to leave.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want your listenership if you voted for that man.
Yeah, okay.
2016.
She makes the rules here.
Okay, 2016, maybe I can understand you because maybe he was different, right? He was not a politician, a career politician. Like, Hillary had some shit. Like maybe you wanted to just do something different. But now, knowing what you know and you still voted for him, I don't want you here.
Okay.
Yeah.
She said it.
I said it. And I mean it.
Damn. You did not prepare me for that at all.
That's intense. Sorry. I have been trying.
It sounds like you fucking wrote it down and rehearsed it.
No, I've just been playing like,
Let her cook.
No grounds.
I don't feel that intensely about it.
Why? Maybe we talk about Sapphire, but...
Oh, now she's...
No, I'm just curious.
I just don't feel that is intensely about it. That's all. Okay. That was pretty intense.
That is intense, but...
It's totally your prerogative. I get it. I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty bold, decisive, and divisive thing to say to a group of people. But you're angry, and then you're allowed to be.
Yeah. I think we're over trying to understand. A lot of us are. And I think I'm one of them, because... You knew what you were setting up for. And you were okay with taking people's rights away for cheaper gas or something. It's just, it's fucked. It's fucked.
I guess I would. I mean, a lot of people voted for him. A lot.
A lot of
people. The majority. I'm curious to know I guess. I am curious about why so much doesn't matter.
I don't understand.
So I'm at least curious about it.
Yeah, I mean,
but you're like, I don't want to hear "fuck you, go die," and I'm like, could someone explain it to me?
I just hope you fucking get what you voted for.
Well, I hope not, because I'm here too.
I hope that people who didn't vote for him have the easiest next 4 years they can. I hope you figure out.
That's positive.
I hope you figure out who you need to talk to, who your communities you need to make now. Get yourself some Plan B. Get yourself some abortion pills, because Project 2025 is coming.
All right. Is that what we're talking about today? Are we talking about Project 2025?
No, we're not talking about Project 2025. Thank fucking God. No. I tried to think of something grimly related.
Electorally grimly?
No.
Oh, okay. Grimly related to what?
Just like... in terms of what we talk about, because we talk about some darker shit.
Context?
Right?
I'm confused. Go on. I'm sorry.
Fucking explain.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I tried to think of something that was like grimly adjacent, right? But was still, because we're all in the pit of despair.
Some of us are deeper in the pit, I think.
Yeah. I think me being deepest in the pit.
Let me toss you in. Like a ladder, please.
But
get on up here.
I tried to think of something a little bit adjacent to that, but like a little less like tragic or sad, whatever you want to call it.
Okay. All right.
So I thought we could talk today about the United States' first female detective.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do today.
Sounds like a total G.
She is. We're going to talk about...
I love it. I love that. I always love everything you do. Here we go.
Let's crack into it.
Okay.
This week, we're going to talk about Kate Warren and the Baltimore plot.
Kate Warren?
Yeah, W-A-R-N-E.
Warren. Okay, I like that.
Okay.
That's a pretty, yeah.
We're going to a time you don't want to go to, which is the 1800s.
I could tell by the pictures that this is an old-timey fucking story.
But it's a cool story, though. It's a really cool story.
I'm here for it.
In 1856.
God, that was a long time
ago. It's a long time ago. Wow. I was thinking about this the other day. Sorry, just a
imagine
little...
what kind of guys were president back then. We just didn't know about it.
Yeah.
So that at the end of the day, I think sums up why I'm like, life will go on. We will figure it out.
Yeah.
We will weather the storm. Humans are adaptable.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it doesn't get really terrible.
Just get pissed and fight back is all I have to say.
All right, carry on.
Okay. What was I going to say?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was thinking about. Sorry, this is really stupid, but time travel.
Okay.
And you know how, like, most time travel movies, you, like, try to go back and fix something, right?
Sure.
What if you just, like, time traveled just to see the vibes? He got to go...
I think that's the rule that you're actually supposed to only do that.
Right. He got to go this era. He got to wear the clothing. He got to have a meal. He got to go
Isn't
party.
Isn't that Outlander or some shit?
Isn't that's that not Outlander.
Isn't that the one where the Irish or the lady dates... She goes back in time and she falls in love with a guy.
Yeah, she keeps coming back and forth.
Isn't that for the vibes?
No.
I've never seen the show.
No, she kind of like ends up going back.
To change
On
things?
Accident. No, she goes back on accident. She like gets stuck in this like time, this timeline. She's like, where the fuck am I right now?
Oh, that is scary.
Yeah. No, I'm talking like you get to sign up. You get to jump into the DeLorean and, you
just
know.
Just go see the vibes.
Yeah, go see the vibes. Or like get to wear like one of the outfits and go have like a great Gatsby party or something. And then you come back. Instead of let's go to this club, let's go to this era and go to this party. Right? That could be fun. I don't know why this story made me think of that. But it'd be cool just to.
Well, probably because you're like. Putting yourself in the time thinking about it.
Probably. Yeah.
That's what I do when you're telling the stories. I'm like, what does everything look like?
That's what happens. I hope we transport people to a different era.
Okay, well, I'm here for it. Yeah. We're in 1857?
1856.
Damn.
Listen. All you needed was a little bit of a martini to make you listen. Now I know. Okay. In 1856, 23-year-old Kate Warren was living in Chicago. Kate was recently widowed and was working as a housekeeper.
23 and recently widowed?
Huh.
Damn.
It's a different time.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the 1800s.
It's the 1800s, baby. Not much
a
is...
A hot widow. My gosh. I'm sorry. This is very insensitive.
No, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that Michelle Wolf joke. Have you heard that joke? She's, yeah, like when their husbands died back then, the woman probably like, oh no. Now still... I get to do what I want because I'm a widow. No one expects anything from me. I was married and he died.
And he died.
So sad. You know, some of them are like back there. Thank God. Fuckers out of here.
Oh, yeah. Some of them.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah. We don't know about that, about her husband. Sorry.
I'm not.
Okay. Sorry. We had to pause for a second because there was like.
We heard gunshots.
Yeah. There was just like weird.
It was just fireworks.
Fireworks. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we were talking about Kate being a widow at 23.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So she lost her first husband.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. That's not very good. Unless it is good.
Unless he sucked. So not much is known about Kate's early life or childhood. We know that she was born in New York in 1833, and that's where most of the story is kind of part of.
I think a lot about what New York would be like back then.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with looking at... You know what is actually interesting, despite me not wanting to hear a goddamn thing about that? I do like to look at the photos of that time period.
I always think about the Wild West.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in it. But Westworld? Westworld seemed like a really cool concept if you watch that show.
I mean, it is too bad that there's no doc really. There was nothing. There was no technology that we could, that could show us really what it would be like at the
time. I don't think it probably will be in our lifetime either, unfortunately.
Maybe. Wait, what do you mean? To go back in time?
Yeah.
Oh, to time travel. Just like photograph.
Oh. Well, there are some photographs later.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So Kate is born in New York in 1833. Her parents were hardworking but poor. So Kate probably gained a lot of her tenacity during this era of her life. We don't really know a whole lot about it, her parents either. And we have a picture of her, unfortunately, but this is a rendering.
Oh, wow. Yeah, old-timey.
Yeah, very old-timey.
Yeah, she looks like she's bored in that photo because she had to sit there for...
she had to fucking sit there for 8 hours and have a podcast to listen to, an audiobook.
She just sat there for hours while someone drew her.
Stewing. So mad. In 18
she
fucking
looks
layers.
Smart too, like she really does.
Yeah, like 18 fucking layers of clothing, just stewing. So Kate was not super stoked about her job as a housekeeper.
Oh.
That's what she was doing.
Okay.
After becoming a widow, she's like... Husband died, she became a housekeeper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She decided to answer an ad for the Pinkerton National Detective Agency.
Oh, nice.
The Pinkerton National Detective Agency, which was formerly Pinkerton & Co., was founded around 1850. Pinkerton was founded in Chicago by Copper Allen Pinkerton and an attorney named Edward Rucker. It really isn't talked about most of the time when it comes to Pinkertons, so I don't really know what happened there.
Okay.
It's Alan Pinkerton. That's the guy. So at the height of its power, between 1870 and 1890, it's the largest private detective agency in the world. So it's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, it is very cool. Pinkerton detectives would use espionage as their main tactic to gather information to solve crimes. This often meant that Pinkerton detectives would go undercover to find information.
What is the definition of espionage? What is espionage? I generally know, but like...
Just spy shit, right?
Let's see if there's a definition.
I'm sure there's a definition.
The act of obtaining secret information. Yeah, spy shit.
Spy
exactly.
Shit.
Usually through illegal means for the purpose of... harming a country or benefiting a foreign nation. It can involve spying on a person, a company, or a government. Yeah, spy shit.
Spy
but
shit.
I thought you said it was illegal. It was the legal way. That's why I was like, isn't that not...
Oh, I guess I didn't really think about it being illegal.
Maybe it wasn't back then.
Maybe it wasn't back then.
That's what I'm saying. I was just like, wait, like, how could they do that openly? Like,
that's true.
And, okay.
And this is a Pinkerton emblem or whatever.
Oh, okay. Oh, there's an eye.
There's an eye.
The symbolism of this would have the...
Freemasons.
Yeah. The eye symbol. Like, it would have the conspiracy theorists. The, Who are the ones? What was that? QAnons.
QAnons.
All.
Yeah. I think, actually, Alan Pinkerton was a Freemason.
Of course he was. Wasn't everybody in the fucking 1800s?
Maybe, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, it looks shady. Detective agency with Gardner.
Right?
Private eye.
And the logo is We Never Sleep.
Damn.
Which is a little bit of a threat.
Honestly, it's the second threat we've heard on the pod today.
nothing but threats and laughs on here. Okay. Kate walks into the office of Alan Pinkerton, the leader of the Pinkerton Detective Agency, obviously. Oh,
dude, she walks right in there. You know they don't want her to be there. Right? They're like, what are you doing here, ma'am?
So she tells Alan that she's not interested in being a secretary, mm-hmm. like he thinks. But she's instead, she wants to be a detective.
If he's fucking smart, he will be like, this is brilliant because there's so many ways you can use a woman.
Yeah.
Right. In ways that man can't.
Exactly. Totally. So that is.
There's a niche.
So that is exactly what Kate, how she sells it.
Great.
She's listened. She's, I can get intel from 100%. Other women, from wives, from mistresses. Yeah. Like
I
children.
I could flirt with this fucking dumbass over
yeah.
here.
Yeah. And he will tell me shit.
Yeah.
And
I could be his maid or what. There's so many different ways. Right. Where they just like, if I'm invisible as a woman, mm-hmm. a widow at that.
Right.
Fucking. Yeah. I'm the best spy there is.
Exactly. And so that's how she sells herself.
Great.
Alan is intrigued. He's like, huh.
You just got a point.
You got a point.
Okay, Alan.
And smart. So he goes home, he sleeps on it, and he decides the next day that Kate is right, and he hires her as the first female Pinkerton detective.
And just like that, you just could just walk in once upon a time.
Right.
And be like, I demand a job.
I mean, there was an ad out.
Oh, okay.
She answered an ad.
For a secretary.
No, there was an ad for a detective.
Oh, so got it. So she walks in and he's, oh, he's we're not assuming. Hiring the secretary.
Yeah, he's, yeah, we don't need a secretary. She's like, yeah, I'm not here for that.
Got it. Got it. Got it.
I'm here
got
to become it. Your detective.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay.
You don't know unless you ask mm-hmm. one of those situations.
Love it.
Alan Pinkerton puts Kate on cases right away. She is willing to go undercover for months at a time. And she is great at gathering information because she has a really good knack of playing different characters. Mm-hmm. So she like puts on different disguises. She goes into different names. She wow. uses different accents.
Wow. Okay.
So she's a fucking natural at this.
Abroad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Alan has a lot of faith in Kate and he starts putting her in some pretty big profile cases. For example, in 1858, Kate was put on a case for the Adams Express Company, which was a railroad company at the time. Hmm. And the railroads were the main employers of the Pinkertons. They used the Pinkertons a lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this railroad, they hired the Pinkertons because $10,000 in 1858. Do you want to guess how much it is in today's money?
I don't know, like hundreds of thousands?
Yeah, you're close.
Okay.
300,000.
I was gonna say, I was like, I actually was like up to three potentially, yeah. 170 and three.
Right, so it's a significant chunk of change.
Yes.
That is stolen.
Okay.
So it's gone missing, I guess, not stolen. And it's in one of their offices, it gets stolen or missing in Montgomery, Alabama.
So just money went missing?
Money went missing.
Okay.
In Montgomery, Alabama, at one of their station things, whatever.
Okay.
So they're like, we need to figure out who stole this, essentially. So they hire the Pinkertons for that.
There was no FBI or there was nothing. Mm-mm. Everything was private.
Everything was private.
Damn.
Yeah. Okay, so Kate suspects the manager of the office of this
stuff. Reasonable.
Of the money
okay.
missing.
Okay. Okay.
And he is a man named Nathan Maroney.
Maroney.
Maroney. Maroney Baloney. Never trust Maroney. She thinks he's the one that stole the money. But she needs to find some hard evidence.
She's going
to
play it cool. Mm-hmm. She's going to investigate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Kate goes undercover as a woman named Madame Inbert.
Okay.
And he befriends Nathan Maroney's wife.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Damn, this is spy shit.
This is spy shit.
Wow, this is a little different than how we do it now in law
yeah.
enforcement. But.
Yeah, for sure. As Madame Inbert, Kate tells Mrs. Maroney, I could not find the wife's name, unfortunately.
Oh, well, you tried.
That's yeah, nice. I tried.
It's not your fault that it's not in print anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
Someone else's fault.
It might
fault.
Be somewhere in some weird random text. I just couldn't find it. Kate tells Mrs. Maroney that she has a dark secret. If someone told me, they have a dark secret. I'd be like,
what the fuck constitutes a dark secret?
I would sit. I would be set. And I would be like, girl. the nail clip. I'd be like,
that's
please,
true.
Please tell me your deepest, darkest secrets. Right? There's no way. You can't. You. That is
I have a
bait.
Dark secret.
That is a bait. They're like, oh yeah, I have a dark secret. You're like, well, what is it?
It's very specific, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Kate tells Miss Maroney. Yeah, this
the dark secret.
The dark secret.
Okay. I'm curious.
Yeah, so Miss Maroney's, obviously, she's going to take the bait.
What else
Kate,
she doing?
Yeah. Kate, as Madam Imbert, tells Miss Maroney that her husband is in jail for fraud and that she is deeply ashamed by him in this. She's, I don't know who I can talk to about this. He's in jail for this really bad thing he did. I'm so ashamed of him and I don't know what to do.
Okay, so Kate's, I've got a shitty husband, just in case you want to talk about yours. I don't know about him, but okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So Miss Maroney then tells Kate that her husband is in the same line of work.
Oh, man. Damn. That's too bad. That's all it took.
Just ratting everybody out.
Also, it was just like the poor woman was like, oh, my God, what are the chances that this woman I don't know is going through something totally. I have my own dark secret that is actually the same thing. That it's not suspicious at all, but... I just feel bad for her. I feel bad for Miss Roney, who no doubt got major shit from at least her husband.
Oh,
and
for
probably
sure.
Her husband's family and all their friends and potentially their children. I don't know.
And you know what? He shouldn't have fucked around.
Oh, you're right. At the end of the day,
it's his fucking fault. Kate was able to win this trust with Miss Roney. They kept talking about all this stuff.
Yeah.
They like got a rapport going. And it got to the point that Miss Maroney actually gives some of the stolen money over to Kate for safekeeping.
What?
Yeah, she's like, here's some of the stolen money. Can you hide it for me?
Oh, now she's got evidence.
So now she has evidence.
Oh, this poor woman is just not very bright. I'm so sorry.
No, unfortunately.
Okay.
So obviously this case is cracked, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
So after this case is cracked, and I think they were able to recover like 85% of the money.
Wow, okay.
They probably spent some of it, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
Alan Pinkerton, after this, he puts Kate in charge of the first female detective bureau, where she begins to recruit other female detectives to work for the Pinkertons.
Smart.
And they are called, the female detectives are called Pinks.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, it is cute. I think it's cute. Is it cute?
It's a little cute.
Yeah,
I think it's cute.
I just imagine the Victoria's Secret pink felt pants, the velvet pants.
You don't think that Victoria's Secret models are fucking spies? Because no doubt.
Oh, they should
are.
Be.
Yeah.
For sure.
We haven't recorded in a while, and I've also been alone at the house while I'm like.
Okay, Meg is loose.
I'm just like, there are too many thoughts and words coming out of my fucking mouth this episode, and it's because I've spent too much time recovering from surgery alone in my home.
Meg's lost it. Congratulations. I'm really happy for you.
At the end of the day, I'm surprised that I feel like the crazy one with the way you started this fucking episode. I'm teasing you.
Oh, speak your truth, sister. Tell him to fuck off. I don't give a shit. There she is. So we're going to get to what is now referred to as the Baltimore plot. February 1861. Got it?
Cold.
Got it? Cold.
Cold.
Very dark.
Where are they? New York.
Yeah. Okay. They're like Chicago,
okay.
New York area.
Okay. All right. The
she goes, she gets around and she's a detective.
I would imagine she does have to travel for her job.
Exactly. In February 1861, the United States is in some serious turmoil at this point, because remember, this is a couple years before the Civil War.
Okay.
Especially because a new president has been elected, a lawyer from Illinois named Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
Did you see the bottle of wine I brought?
Oh, yeah, it's his face.
It's his face.
Why are we drinking that?
I don't know. You said you wanted a martini.
Well, I did have one. And now I have a cider.
We'll drink it after.
Okay.
I was at the grocery store. I was like, oh, shit. I have to buy that 100%. Wine. Yeah. It's Federalist Red Blend, if anyone's wondering. So, this election is bad enough that a majority of the southern states seceded from the Union because...
That was some overreaction type shit right there. So dramatic. And the thing that's funny about it is men were the only ones making decisions at
exactly.
that time. We were highly emotional in the South.
They were erratic.
The they were like, we're leaving.
You're like, oh my God, I'm leaving. I can't oppress black people anymore. Fuck y'all. It's
we're
really
gonna
bad.
Go home.
We're gonna go. Most of the states in the South secede from the Union to become the Confederacy. Boo.
This brings up a lot of family stuff for me.
Oh, sorry. However, before his inauguration, Lincoln wants to take an 11-day train trip from Illinois to Washington, D.C., making stops along the way to 70 different cities.
Campaigning?
No.
He's already won. Oh, interesting.
He wants to do this to have a meet and greet for the American people to meet him.
Oh, nice.
Because remember, this is before TVs.
Now we just do it before the election.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, they didn't have TVs back then.
That's true.
People didn't even know what this man looked like.
Okay.
And I think also because of just the turmoil going on, he mm-hmm. was trying to mm-hmm. be like, hey, let's come chat. Come meet me. I'm going to have a speech. We're going to talk, whatever.
Yeah.
Trying to be presidential. Absolutely. As one does.
Mm-hmm.
However, with this idea of this meet and greet, there's also a lot of threats looming over the train because of the turmoil going on with the Confederacy and the Union. So it's a good idea, but there's also a lot of shit that can happen along the way.
Okay.
The train company is hearing about threats of secessionists planning on blowing up the tracks en route with explosives, and also there are threats of violence against Lincoln himself.
Sure, okay. Because there's a very real threat that there's a very real fucked up, or the railroads.
Huh, yeah, so there's these threats yeah. happening, and they're serious.
This is fucking domestic terrorism. It has existed
forever.
Since the 1800s.
Probably before that.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so because of all of this, the Philadelphia Wilmington Baltimore Railroad, that's the name of the company.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Just BP.
I just want to know who WB. Owned it at the time.
Oh, God, I meant to write down his name.
Really?
I did. I'm sorry.
Damn, it's probably one of those fucking American oligarchs that my dad would be like, that's my favorite guy.
You know, it wasn't a name that looked familiar. It wasn't like a Rockefeller or anything like that.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. This guy, he decides to hire the Pinkertons as a sort of security for this journey.
Okay.
Lincoln will be taking. So this is before social service.
They're going to have their ear to the ground. They're going to...
Secret service. So...
Yeah. Okay. Smart. So, I would do it too.
Yeah. So Pinkerton detectives were planted along various stops undercover, male and female, to try to pick up any information they could find mm-hmm. about the plans to fuck up the journey for Lincoln. They're trying to get intel now. While in Baltimore, Alan Pinkerton was noticing a lot of unrest and opposition to Lincoln's presidency in Baltimore, Maryland. And he was getting a little bit worried about it.
Because it's on, is it north, is it south?
Yeah, it's on the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, that's
right?
The one. That's
Mason-Dixon,
the one.
Mason-Dixon, yeah. Also, every train going to D.C. has to go through Baltimore because there was different gauges on the railroad tracks between the two. And so you had to take a different...
Train.
Yeah. You had to stop in Baltimore. Everyone has to stop in Baltimore.
Someone owns this track, and they've got their own trains.
I don't even know if it was like someone owns this track. I think it was just like maybe something to do with like
whoever
the Confederacy.
Yeah.
So everyone had to change trains in Baltimore.
I wonder if it's still like that, and I just don't know because I don't fucking ride trains or know anything about training.
I don't know. That's a really good question. Because, there's a lot of people that take the train. Over on the East Coast from New York and DC.
There would be different or maybe is it like all standard now, but once upon a time they could be different sizes?
I imagine it's probably all standard now.
I don't think so, but what the fuck do I know?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't.
Okay. Well, I'm curious about trains. Thanks.
you're choo-choo curious. In his memoir, he wrote later in his life, Alan Pinkerton writes this. The opposition to Mr. Lincoln's inauguration was violent and bitter. In a few days' sojourn in this city convinced me that the great danger was to be apprehended.
Yeah, like it was very real. People wanted to hurt him.
Yeah, people wanted to hurt him. So before Lincoln's journey begins, a train mechanic sends a letter to Alan Pinkerton. In his letter, he informs Pinkerton of a group of men who have taken an oath together that they will assassinate Abraham Lincoln before he gets to Washington, D.C.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so they're trying to take him out before he gets sworn in to become President of the United States.
Yeah, damn. They hated him, obviously.
They really did. Alan Pinkerton takes this information seriously and begins sending his detectives undercover to pose as secessionists.
Smart.
Including your girl, Kate Warren.
Ooh, she was probably acting like an insufferable bitch that I wouldn't enjoy hanging out with.
Probably like saying some problematic shit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kate goes undercover as a secessionist named Miss Barley.
Oh, God.
So the backstory she creates for Miss Barley is that she's originally from Alabama And she makes sure to always wear a black and white cockade. That's what it's called.
Okay.
It's like a big fucking ribbon thing. It looks like a fair ribbon, right. Honestly.
Yeah, it's a...
And this was used during this time to symbolize support of the South seceding from the Union. So she's getting into it. Obviously, the plan is to have Kate make friends with the wives and daughters and mistresses of the secessionist men.
Smart. Okay, Kate's doing work.
To get as much information as she can. Mm-hmm. She's infiltrating the women, essentially. And they did have men also trying to get into the secessionist group as well.
I'm just like, she must have loved every goddamn second of this.
I know.
Being like, who lives this life?
You're like, this is so fucking cool.
Yeah, in 18... What is it?
61.
Yeah, I was like, 60s now? I'm doing this. I'm fucking working. I'm getting paid to do this. Like...
Yeah, during this time, stuff. During this era, I think there's only like 15% of women in the workforce.
That's what I'm saying.
She's and like, yeah, they were like,
I was cleaning houses before this, and I'm fucking
bad bitch,
here?
Right?
It's cool. Espionage.
It's so cool.
Protecting the president. This is insane.
It's so cool.
It's very fucking cool.
While undercover in Baltimore, their Pinkertons infiltrate a group of conspirators led by a man named Captain Fernandia.
Okay.
I don't have much about him.
Okay.
Because I don't care.
Wait. Sorry. Go back. Who is he? He's a captain with a name.
Fernandia.
I know, but what was the point of... What's his story?
Oh, he's the leader of this group, of the secessionist group that's trying to assassinate Lincoln. Yeah. Okay. So during these secessionist meetings with this captain guy, the group was openly talking about their plot to assassinate the soon-to-be president.
They're proud, for sure.
They're so proud about
it. Yeah, loud and proud.
And Captain Fernandia was heard saying, quote, "Our plans are fully arranged and they cannot fail. Lincoln shall certainly not depart from this city alive."
Okay.
And this isn't all in Baltimore.
Confident.
Very confident.
Oh, that's scary.
It's very scary. The plan, Fernandia...
Little did they know he was a vampire hunter. Have you seen that?
Yes.
I love that.
That's a great fucking movie. It was like a book too.
It's so good. Shitty.
It's stupid, but it's fun.
I know. It's really good.
Highly recommend. If you needed like a dissociation moment, go watch Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
It's better than it seems.
I wish they would have made more.
I know. But it's also great that it just stands alone.
Okay.
Yeah.
The plan for Nandia and his group of incels. I wrote that. Sorry. Clearly, I'm in a mood.
I don't know. They were just racist. They might not have been cellular. I think that's a very specifically modern.
Yeah.
But you can call them names.
Fernandia and his group. They fill a ballot box with a stack of white envelopes and one red envelope. Everyone draws an envelope in secret, and the person who draws the red envelope is the one that will assassinate Lincoln.
Got it. Okay, so no one technically knows.
Okay. The plan is to shoot Lincoln while he's coming off of the train car in Baltimore to switch trains. And then flee to a waiting steamer boat. Which sounds really fucking cool. Which is in the Chesapeake Bay. And then that would take the assassins to the southern states for protection.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. See, when I say like a time travel moment, I would like to go to a steamer boat.
A steamer boat? I'm certain that they still exist in the South for tourists.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem as cool.
Not the same.
You know?
Okay, fair.
I want to be in a steamer boat during this era.
Okay, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You should. I'm really offended by that.
I'm just like, but if you really want to go to a steamer boat, we can make that happen.
So in the ballot box, there are actually 8 red envelopes.
What?
Which means that there will be actually 8 men waiting to assassinate Lincoln.
Oh, they're like, we're not just gonna let one guy fuck this up.
Yeah.
One of these red motherfuckers is gonna kill him.
Yeah.
Red envelope.
Right. These red enveloped idiots. Also, the Baltimore Marshal of Police was in on the assassination plot, which is not good.
Not good.
Baltimore Marshals, hey, I'm in on this. You won't be met with any pushback, essentially.
Trash. Because the people voted. You fucking work for the people.
Yeah, bitch.
You fucking organized mob.
Right? Go to the South if you won't be on the Union
fucking
anymore.
Fucking mafia gang of racists.
Exactly.
I don't like it.
Now, Alan Pinkerton has this information for the plan to assassinate Lincoln. He's like, shit. something's happening. We got figured out.
That's a big deal. What do you even do?
Yeah. So on February 21st, 2 days before Lincoln is set to arrive in Baltimore, Allen meets up with Lincoln in Philadelphia and informs him about this plan to assassinate him. He just lays it all out. He's like, hey, dude, this is not good. This is what's going to happen. So Allen Pinkerton suggests that Lincoln skip the last few days of the tour. He's like, hey, I know you're like on this meet and greet tour.
It's getting really hot there.
This is getting really hot there. We got to go. And he's like, we just got to go to D.C. now, right? He's like, we got to skip this. Lincoln says no.
Okay.
Because he made plans to raise the United States flag on Independence Hall in Philadelphia. And he's also promised to go to Harrisburg in Philadelphia, or Pennsylvania, sorry, to visit the legislature, which is like their Capitol building is what it seems like.
Okay.
So he's basically, no, I made these promises to these people who voted for me. Like, we have to do this.
Okay.
I mean, it's ballsy.
No, it's extremely. Everything I've ever, like, any. He didn't give a fuck. He might have been a unique type of personality.
Yeah.
It would have been difficult to be married to him, is all I'm saying.
He had a lot of indifference to safety, is what it seems like. Yeah, he's. No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit respectable, but also it's like. Against your own interest, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Brave.
Yeah.
Or brave narcissistic? And dumb? I don't know.
I feel like brave and dumb.
I don't know. Maybe he wasn't that old.
No, he wasn't that old. No, he wasn't old. Okay. We already talked about like how you have to go through Baltimore, right? Because the train tracks, they change gauges. So you have to get off a train or you have to ride on a certain train to get through no matter what. So you have to go through Baltimore.
They know exactly where he's coming.
They know exactly where he's coming. Okay, so the Pinkertons also know that the secessionist group has lookouts along each route of the train tracks. So if Lincoln's train reroutes, they will know. They know what the train looks like. You know what his train looks like. Obviously, it's like a presidential train.
Yeah, he's not hiding.
So they're following
it. Well, he's not hiding. He's not hiding. Come and get me.
Yeah. So how do we get the president-elect to Washington, D.C. safely?
You dress him like a woman?
I don't know. That's a good point.
Yeah. Do they put him in drag?
Oh my God, that is amazing. No, it's not, unfortunately. This is what is now called the Baltimore Plot.
Okay.
So the next day, on February 22nd, 1861, Lincoln raises the flag over Independence Hall, and he says what seems like a bit of a taunt towards his enemies.
That's what I'm saying. This guy really, like, didn't give a fuck.
It's impressive.
What did the bitch say?
He says, quote, he would rather be assassinated on the spot than abandon the principles outlined in the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, bless him.
He's a hero. Fuck y'all. Yeah. Fuck all y'all.
Yeah.
So after he does that, he says a speech. He shakes some hands, kisses some babies. He gets on a train.
He, like, scoots.
Probably. He sets off for Harrisburg to go to the legislature. He goes to the legislature.
Mic drop. On to the next one.
Yeah, he mic drops.
A hero, dude.
Yeah.
Bless him.
He does the hands. Okay. After Harrisburg, he goes to the legislature at around 5:45 that day. Lincoln was in a hotel at the Harrisburg Hotel. He's at dinner. He receives what is a fake message saying that he was at the governor's mansion in Harrisburg. So he's at an important dinner, and they're trying to make it look like they, like, slip him a message. Someone does. And he's like, I have to go. He says, I have to leave the dinner. I'm sorry. Enjoy your fucking boiled lamb or whatever you're eating during this.
I hope it's a little better than that. Oh my God.
I would hope so, too. But, you know, it is 1861.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. This is where Lincoln gets into a carriage, where he changes into a new hat and a shawl. His carriage then goes to a secret train instead of the governor's mansion. The train he gets on was a train that was meant to shuttle personnel back and forth from Harrisburg to Philadelphia. So it's like an employee shuttle type of thing.
Shuttle. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They should have seen that coming, right?
You think.
Okay.
I don't know. So now Lincoln's train car is in Harrisburg, but Lincoln is moving to Philadelphia in the train, a different train.
Smart.
So during the train ride back to Philadelphia, the telegraph lines were also cut. So if anyone had noticed that Lincoln was in Philadelphia or leaving Harrisburg for some reason, they couldn't get word to the group in Baltimore. They just, like, fucking cut the lines, which is drastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess desperate times, right? So in Philadelphia, our girl Kate is getting a plan
and a train ready for her and Abe. She finds a train that is heading to Washington, D.C. that night and tells the train crew that she will be accompanied by her sick brother. So they will need their privacy and they will need to have curtains hung in the sleeper car so her brother can have some peace and quiet to sleep.
Okay.
She's very sick.
She escorts fucking Abe Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So after Abe gets on the passenger train in Philadelphia, the plan is to ride down to D.C. with his personal bodyguard, Alan Pinkerton, and Kate Warren. So this would include going through Baltimore, but the hope is that the secessionist planning the assassination attempt would be none the wiser, thinking that Lincoln is still in Harrisburg.
Yeah.
Because his train's still there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, yeah.
However, there's a bit of a wrench in the plan. The train that Kate had secured was actually set to leave before the train that Lincoln was on would arrive.
Oh no, they've just stalled the train? Mm-hmm. Okay, what do they do?
Not wanting to chance telling the train conductor to wait because of their plan, in case they were a Southern sympathizer.
Yeah, totally.
Alan Pinkerton instead went to the president of the railroad, the man who originally hired the Pinkertons during this whole era, and he told the conductor, the president.
The boss?
The boss. He told the conductor that he had to wait for a package on another train to arrive before heading down to D.C.
Like, listen, I've got this footstool, and I fucking...
I need you to wait for
hold
it.
Hold off. Yeah, they're just... This is just the shuttle, right? No right. big deal. Yeah, they don't have to get anywhere important.
Right. It's middle of the night at this point.
And pick just up my package. Just my wife has a couple of...
Ribbons.
Yes. She's got a dress. There's some shoes.
Right. She needs it tomorrow.
Shipped over from Paris. And this footstool.
Yeah. So you have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
So the train that Link was on shows up in Philadelphia. Kate sneaks Lincoln into the sleeping car.
Hold on.
Yeah.
How fucking quickly can they communicate with each other? This is not like everyone's just down the street. Like, how do they do these comms?
Telegraph.
Wow. Wow. Mind blown. It's like, how did they reach the man? The wealthy
the
fucking,
conductor?
No, the what I imagine to be the...
Oh, the train owner.
The train... The man.
The railroad
the
owner.
The oligarch man. He's just like having his brandy and someone has reached him in his home.
Yeah.
And then he somehow reaches the...
This is one of those things where like...
Highly coordinated.
Yeah, highly coordinated. Like, it could have turned bad so quickly.
God, and imagine how different things would be for us.
Yeah.
It's just so many layers to it.
I know. It's so crazy. It's just like one of those weird... Man, if things would have went different, it would have been really bad. I think about that with if the Titanic saw the iceberg quicker.
Yeah, then we just wouldn't have Leo.
Right?
Famous!
Jack wouldn't have died in the ocean.
Wow.
Yeah. So the train that Lincoln was on in Philadelphia shows up. Kate sneaks Lincoln into the sleeping car under the guise of him being her sick brother. That's my sick brother.
Yeah.
Don't mind the shawl. Also, Lincoln was 6'4".
Yeah, big guy.
He was
lanky, motherfucker.
Insanely tall. Gumby bitch. He's just like, he's taller than probably everybody there.
Yes, very tall.
He's abnormally tall.
Yeah,
for
he's
that era.
Duck down.
Yeah.
Wow. That's why he wasn't fucking scared. He's like, you tiny people, what are you gonna do to me? I could crush you with my beard right now.
I could just take my hat and just put it over you. Like a spider.
Yes.
Just pick you up with a piece of paper and put you in the ocean.
Gone. Does not care. So he's acting like the sick brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he is now
Kate's like,
smuggled
come with me.
Onto the train.
Let's get you on the train. There's also a suitcase that is given to the train conductor that is the quote-unquote important package.
Good. They didn't forget to actually provide a package.
Do you want to guess what's in the suitcase?
I'd love to know, and I would not have even dared to ask.
It's literally just a suitcase stuffed with a bunch of old paperwork.
Oh, okay.
Just it just makes it heavy enough that
it
it's like
it could be important to this man.
Right, right.
To
maybe
the boss.
They think it's a suitcase of money. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, so they're like, here's the important package.
It's a good detail.
Got the sickly brother
professionals.
On.
Professionals.
Yeah, they're professionals. Mm-hmm. Okay, so on the train ride to Baltimore, Alan and Kate are getting signaled by other Pinkerton detectives stationed at stops along the way that everything is good. So I'm imagining they're like driving by and there's like a tip of a hat or someone's tying their shoe or something, mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. it's just like a small signal, but they're getting signaled. Everything's
keep
good.
Going. Everything's yeah. good. Yeah.
Ben. So at 3:30 a.m., the train holding the group arrives in Baltimore. So this is where the train has to make the routine stop and switch over the tracks and stuff. Okay. They didn't have to get off this part. I think it's that turntable thing where yes. it turns the train. Yeah, yes. I think it's one of those. So the conductor, no idea how dangerous this is. So he's just taking a sweet fucking time. It's 3:30 in the morning. Who's in a rush, right? So this delays the group 2 hours.
Wow.
So okay. 2 hours, Lincoln is sitting in this train car.
I would have to imagine it's much more manual back then.
Yeah, for sure. So for 2 hours, Lincoln, Alan Pinkerton, and Kate Warren are sitting in a train car in Baltimore, knowing that 8 assassins are waiting for Lincoln to step off the train. So while waiting in the train car, there's also a crowd singing Southern Rebellion songs. Loudly.
It's like at 3 a.m.
Huh? They're waiting. They're just sitting there. They're waiting because it's technically it's the same day that mm-hmm. Lincoln was supposed to arrive. It's just like they're earlier. Mm-hmm. And they're waiting for Lincoln's train. So they're like, they're waiting, right?
Yikes.
So they're like, yeah, they hear these people singing these songs and they're like, fuck. Like they're out there
it's
right
ominous.
Now.
Yeah, no,
it's very ominous. Yeah. So safe to say, stressful moment, right? Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So finally at 5:30 in the morning, the train leaves the Baltimore station and arrives to Washington, D.C. that morning with Lincoln safe and sound. So, we obviously know what happens next with Lincoln.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wow, what a Lincoln-heavy episode.
Right. He becomes the 16th president of the United States. He helps preserve the Union and then is unfortunately assassinated later
they got
by
him. They did get him.
John Wilkes Booth, which, tragic. We all know that story. Kate Warren is placed in a high-ranking position in the Union Intelligence Service, which is a precursor to the Secret Service.
Wow. Oh, okay. She's a fucking expert on the subject now.
Yeah, she fucking knows, right? Mm-hmm. So her job was finding secrets of the Confederacy plans and resources during the Civil War.
So they didn't have this before?
Mm-mm.
Damn.
No, this is how the Secret Service became a thing.
Wow, to protect him.
Yeah, and she was part of it.
Or after they failed to, potentially.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. she was the Union Intelligence Service.
Why they're like, we need to do something about this. There needs to be a group of people that are designated to...
I think it was less about maybe protecting the president. It was more about protecting the Constitution.
Okay,
sure. And finding secrets for the president, right? It's almost the president's spy group.
Okay.
By this point. Because mm-hmm. this is during the Civil War. Lincoln wasn't assassinated during the Civil War. He was assassinated mm-hmm. after the mm-hmm. Civil War.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
So this happened before he died.
This happened before he died.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're working for Lincoln.
Like, that was a great teamwork right there. Mm. Let's continue working together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's... You guys clearly...
You're going to stay close.
Stay close. Yeah. And like,
you're on the payroll now.
Like, you. Let's get our secrets from mm-hmm. the Confederacy and let's figure out their plans.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what she did.
Amazing.
So Kate was a detective until her mid-30s, until she unfortunately contracted pneumonia.
Oh my god.
And would pass away because of it.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
Pneumonia took her out?
Yeah, 35.
In her 30s?
Yeah, she was 35.
Holy shit, she had to get started early.
Yeah, yeah.
Good thing she did.
I know, right? In 1871, the Pinkerton office caught on fire, and all of the case files, including Kate's, were lost.
Sad.
Which I think is probably we don't really know or hear a lot about her, maybe? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So Kate was buried in the Pinkerton family plot.
Wow.
In Graceland Cemetery in Chicago, Illinois. And in Allenton Pinkerton's will, he makes sure that her plot can never be sold and that she will always stay in the Pinkerton family plot.
Wow.
And this is a picture of her gravestone, which is annoying because they spelled her last name wrong.
Yeah, there's no E.
There's no E.
Are you sure?
It's W-A-R-N-E.
Are you sure it's wrong?
Yeah. No, it's a thing. It's like people talk about how...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's like, can we add an E now?
Do you know what's so funny about it? Is it looks like the letters... Like, it's in like cursive or like calligraphy.
Mm-hmm.
Except her...
Her name?
Yeah. What fucking font is that from the... What is it, 1868? Is that what it was?
Comic Sans.
Something weird. It's like bubble letters. I'm like, is this a fake photo? I'm suspicious.
I don't think it's a fake photo. I mean,
like, do you see her name looking extremely different than any font they would have used back then?
Well, I don't know. That's,
does that look weird?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think, I don't know. I can't tell you.
I apologize. We should cut that out. Sidebar. It's a total fucking sidebar.
Sidebar central over here.
Listen, if anybody sees the photo, you're like, the name is weird. It doesn't fit the photo.
No, I can see what you're saying about it. It looks like a...
It looks like somebody photoshopped it.
Like me when I was like 15, writing Kate Warren.
Yeah.
And bubble letters on a piece of...
Yeah.
Like,
strange. And everything printer else paper. Looks like it would period appropriate.
Yeah, I don't know.
Suspicious.
Maybe they wanted the name to be really, really pronounced and everything else is like... Or they've redone the name.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe.
Yeah.
To make sure you can see it. I don't know.
Potentially.
We should... I think it'd be cool to go see her grave.
Well, I'm actually suspicious that her grave even looks like that. Yes, I would love to. That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
we know it's
like
in the Pinkerton family lot.
Oh, yeah. In Chicago. Walk up on the property.
Yeah. So, okay. Say hi.
The family lot? Oh, we're just here to check out the one that wasn't part of the family.
Check out the bad bitch over here.
The bad bitch.
Pay her respects.
That wasn't a part of the family, but it's in the family.
Maybe
plot.
A poor little whiskey. She probably drank some whiskey.
For sure.
Yeah. The Pinkerton agency, inspired by Kate, continued to employ female detectives until Allerton Pinker's death in 1884.
Well,
after the death of Allen Pinkerton, the Pinkerton agency was handed over to his sons, and his sons have fortunately go over to the dark side.
Really?
Yeah, they start working for companies trying to bust unions.
Oh, okay.
Or the employees unionizing.
Well,
so yeah. Later in the 1800s where unions were becoming a thing. So they
also complicated subjects.
Totally. But I mean,
an outsider group trying to bust a bunch of employees is trash.
Yeah.
You don't know what it's like to work there.
Mm-hmm.
You cunts.
Exactly. And this is like during the era where people were trying to get like weekends and, you know, 10-hour days and stuff.
Yeah, they're just trying to get that 40-hour work week that we love so much.
That we hate now. So this would actually lead to the Anti-Pinkerton Act of 1893.
Okay. This actually sounds familiar.
Yeah. Crazy, right? So this act made it so that corporations couldn't hire private detectives or mercenaries
You know what? It's a natural progression of things.
Unfortunately.
For a private company.
Yeah. I don't know if the Pinkerton Corporation is still around. I think it might be like a private security company now.
I'm like, or like something very interested to know along the lines of that. What does it mean if you're proudly Pinkerton?
I don't know. That's like a question, right? Someone probably out there knows. Marie Owens would be the first female police officer sworn into service in 1891. She's the first female police officer. So Kate has 57 years on her. I can imagine that she had women like Kate watching over her proudly.
Yeah.
I will end this story with a statement from the Democratic Inquirer, who wrote out Kate's obituary, and they said this about her. Kate had great mental power and was an excellent judge of character. She was the greatest female detective in the country, if not the world. And that is the story of Kate Warren, the first female detective.
I've never heard that story. I did not know about Kate Warren.
Me either. I wish we'd heard that part of history.
Badass lady.
Right?
She's very smart.
Yeah. Fucking cool ass chick.
And brave. Extremely.
Extremely brave.
Mm-hmm.
She's
like, I got this.
Yeah, I knew how to play the game, right?
And I wish that we had known. Maybe somebody should make a movie better because I want to know what the training was like.
Right?
There had to be some training.
I mean, that sounds like a movie waiting to happen.
Uh-huh. Totally.
Even if it isn't just about Kate Warren, just about the female Pinkertons.
Totally. Or even like her proximity to... There's so many angles. Her proximity to Abe.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. You could have a whole movie about just like the journey from about like the place plot. A to B. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
But you're the girls. You're right. Sexy. Yeah. It's a sexy movie. It's a sexy Margot Robbie can make it. She can produce.
Yeah, Margot Robbie, are you here?
She'd fucking do it.
Margot Robbie made a movie about this. I would totally watch it.
100%. I'm like, please also act in it.
Damn.
Thank you.
Yeah, I felt like that was a good episode after the turmoil of the week.
Okay. Feel better now?
No.
Oh no.
I mean, I'm not gonna feel better for 4 years. I'm not gonna lie. But I will. I'll try to. I understand because I do this for myself too. That podcasts are a bit of an escape.
I know. So I'm really trying to lighten the mood.
And it's, you want to get immersed in the story and just not think about everything else. Maybe you want to go for a walk or
we nailed it, this one.
Yeah, we did a little bit. We're fine. It's funny.
Worst episode yet.
Wow, really?
Failure at A. Nailed it. If we were trying to threaten people.
I'm only threatening people unhinged with what they voted for. Just saying.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Kate is a badass. I'm so glad I know about bitch. Her. Thank you very much.
Right?
God bless
it.
Abraham Lincoln and his balls, his big fucking balls.
Let's cut this shit out.
Do you have any last words?
No, I was just going to say thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate you. And we will continue to make these stories interesting and fun, hopefully. Mostly fun.
I had fun.
Yeah, it's always a good time. But yeah, we will go talk to you guys next week. And until next time,
stay grimly curious.
Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.